Hi, everyone. Welcome to the I Need to Effing Talk to You podcast. My name's Russell Stratton and my co-host, Ken Cameron.
Hello, everyone.
And Ken today is relaxing. I'm here working away in my basement office while Ken, I understand, is relaxing, swaying in a hammock at his cabin up in the forest. Is that true, Ken?
Yes, it's true. I'm actually presently I'm just out in front of the cabin on it, lying on a hammock. I got a pillow behind my head and I'm looking out at a cliff overlooking the Red Deer River Valley, watching the river far below me, gently reflecting in the morning sunlight. And it's a lovely place to be recording a podcast from today. It's a lovely place to be working from today.
Well, I feel so suitably envious, Ken, as I'm sitting here looking around my basement office. And if we noticed, listeners, that Ken goes silent at certain points at the podcast, it could be that he's dozed off and I will need to shake his hammock vigorously to have him back awake and with us. But I'm sure he'll manage to stay with us for the duration of the podcast.
I'm sorry. What was that? Sorry, Russell. I must have nodded off there. What was that? Yeah.
Well, you cheeky effer, Ken, there you were already nodding off partway through. I hadn't even got into the podcast itself, and he's already nodded off in his hammock. So let's try and keep Ken awake whilst we go through for the rest of our broadcast today.
Yeah, we'll dig into the meat of the subject today, and that'll keep me awake. That'll help.
It sure will. But in terms of what we're going to be talking about today, we've spoken before offline around the COVID pandemic. I think it's been a topic that's been on a lot of people's minds over the last sort of 15 or so months. And specifically with many people working from home, I know that some of our listeners may be still in the workplace, depending on their occupation. But for a number of people, there's been increased work from home, which has provided some benefits in terms of not having to travel in and so saving of travel time. But one of the things we wanted to explore today was it really helping with that work-life balance, which is something that many of us are conscious of and try to get right in terms of that balance between work and personal life? And does working from home actually help us? So, Ken, your thoughts on that?
Well, I've certainly heard lots of feedback, both from individuals and friends and colleagues, but also you see lots on different varieties of social media, such as LinkedIn and Facebook and so on and so forth, Twitter, of individuals who claim that they actually end up working more while they're working from home, and that establishing a work-life balance is far more of a challenge when you're working from home than when you're working from the office, which is, on the one hand, somewhat counterintuitive. You might think that, oh, I get to work from home, I get to work in my pajamas, I get to work in a day dress. But if I and I can just go to grab a cup of coffee when I want, I can make lunch whenever I want. There's that element of things. But then for lots of individuals, there's also the expectation that, oh, if I'm working from home, I don't want to be lazing around, so I'm going to work harder. I'm going to try to prove to my bosses and my superiors that I'm not just lazing around in a sundress, that I'm actually working harder. So you kind of push yourself harder. Or in the case of individuals such as yourself and I, Russell, who work for ourselves, who are entrepreneurs or running a small business, you may push yourself to work harder, perhaps out of a fear-based response due to the pandemic. And then, of course, there's the third situation where individuals who are parents of young children who are now trying to balance their work as well as caring for small children and schooling their children while their children are also learning from home. So that could be a bit of a challenge. And I've certainly heard that from lots of individuals. What have you heard, Russell?
Very similar, Ken. I mean, I certainly recognize that third challenge. I mean, my daughters are in that sort of teenage age, so they're a lot more self-reliant. But I certainly found when they were home for school that became more of a challenge for one reason, because we're now trying to share, you know, 2-3 computers between 4 people needing to have access, and who's going to be online at what time and who needs to have access to the printer and all these type of things. So there was a logistical issue there. not just setting aside the issues about you not being able to be out and socializing, which was a particular issue, I think, for many teenagers, even more perhaps than from some of us as adults. But I could again recognize you were mentioning, Ken, about the, you know, being an entrepreneur or running a small business and that feeling of needing to be on that treadmill with COVID, the impact it was having on certainly on my business, and I think had similar impacts on yours, where, you know, okay, so we need to be able to make up ground that we've lost during COVID due to the restrictions. So feeling a sort of a sense of guilt, perhaps, if you were not working 100% all the time, because then aren't we going to need to be working more than 100% to catch up for the time and much business that's been lost? And also, I think when talking to you know, neighbours of mine who suddenly found themselves working at home, who never did before, were always office-based or site-based, that there was, did they ever switch off? That was, you know, two of my neighbours across the street from me were not, never worked from home before until COVID, had been working from home pretty much the whole time over the last 15, 16 months. And one of the things that they had complained of is that they found themselves never switching off. They were always going back to their phone. They were going back to their computer during the day and evening to just, I'll just check my email. I'll just, you know, reread that proposal, or I'll just go and look at those figures that came in. And there was a temptation to get drawn back in a way that they weren't when they sort of left the office, turned off their computer and gone home. That wasn't the same when their computer was sitting there in front of them whilst they were at home.
And to what did they attribute that change in behavior? Was that an outside pressure or an elevated expectation from others? Or was that an internal drive to themselves, do you think?
I think it was probably a little bit of both, but in talking to them, you know, and one or two others in there. So I appreciate this is sort of anecdotally in terms of experience. I'd be interested to see the sort of research that comes out on this in due course. I think it was pressure that people were putting on themselves to a degree, that I need to be seen to be busy. And I don't want people to assume that I'm not busy. So how much of that was given to them externally by their manager, for example? Certainly in those two cases, they didn't feel that their manager was putting additional pressure on them to get work done. I know that's not the case for everybody. You know, I've had other cases where people felt they were getting a bit of pressure to make sure that they were shown to be being productive. I think in these two cases, it was less of that and more that they sort of felt, I need to show that I'm at least as productive as I am when I'm in my usual workspace, if I'm now working from home and I'm not seen to be slacking off. So there may be some pressure there that perhaps they're not aware of, or it's subconscious.
Over the pandemic, I read a number of articles which make the proposition that, in fact, people are more productive when they're at home. And they've cited a couple of different reasons for this. And so they might suggest, for instance, that depending on where you work and what your work situation is, you might be saving up to 45 minutes or even an hour of commuting time both ways. So you, in the past, you might have left your home at like 8 o'clock in order to be at your desk for 9. You might have left your office at 5 o'clock in order to be home for 6. Well, now you've cut back on all that time. But what tends to happen is that people still start work at 8 and they don't finish work until 6. So in a way, the employer is eking an extra 2 hours out of you. And then there's also the increased productivity that comes from the fact that you don't have to get up from your desk and go grab a cup of coffee or go down the hall or go down the street in order to buy some lunch. You can just go into the kitchen, make it yourself, and come back. There may also be the increased productivity that comes from the fact that you're not being constantly interrupted. I mean, even pre-pandemic, there were lots of studies around the cost of task switching, what they call the attention deficits that comes from when you might be working on a project, you just start to get into it, and then your email goes off and you have to attend to that. And then it takes an extra like 10, 15, or 20 minutes to get back into the zone on the work that you were just doing, only to have your phone ring again, or somebody stop by your cubicle, or it's time to go to that meeting down the boardroom, or to go off to the client site. Much of that is now gone. you would be able to get into the work in your home-based office much more readily. So there's that proposition that people are more productive from home. Now, I want to put a big caveat around those kinds of articles that all of us have read, I'm sure, because really, how much of that is based on stellar research, and how much of that is, as you put it earlier, Russell, just purely anecdotal? It might have the veneer of authority because it's now being published in a magazine or an article or on a website, but really, how much more is that than simply being anecdotal?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I mean, I'm not sure I have an answer to that. I think there's one of the questions that we might be asking: are people busy or are they productive? And I certainly think that people are busier because I certainly get from, you know, being used to spending, you know, 3, maybe 4 days a week having to commute into a particular client or particular work that I was doing. If I'm taking that and my commute time to downtown to Calgary was probably 40 minutes, something like that. Well, if I'm taking that away, I'm saving, as you said, you know, 90 minutes a day. But am I spending that 90 minutes on on personal activity, or am I spending it actually being busy doing something? And I'm not sure that something was always the most productive, but I was certainly more like at my desk with my computer open doing something. And a lot of it was productive work, but I was probably doing that. I wasn't spending that time meditating or doing something for myself. It was more work orientated with that additional time that I'd saved. The other thing I'd noticed personally, and I know that again, you know, talking to others in a similar environment, had found that what they'd missed a lot was that opportunity for informal conversation or chit chat with coworkers. Because if you were working on your own at home, you weren't necessarily going to have that impromptu conversation with someone. If you didn't have to go to the water cooler or to go to the coffee machine, you weren't going to bump into people that you worked with and perhaps talk about, you know, the game that was on the TV last night or a TV program or something that happened in the news that you would typically do. Because it was when you got onto a Zoom call or an MS Teams call, it was, let's get into the meat of the business. You know, we got 30 minutes on this and then we're moving on to the next call. So there wasn't that, again, more efficient use of time, but that social conversation wasn't as easy for people to have. And even if it was manufactured, like let's get together on Friday and we'll all sit on Zoom and chat, it was sort of, say, manufactured and not organically happening in the same way that it did at the office. I'm not sure whether you've encountered that as well, Ken.
A little bit, you know, because, but as we kind of said at the beginning, I've been working from home for decades. So I'm kind of, when the pandemic first started, it was no different. Not a whole lot shifted. But I became aware very quickly what was different, that it kind of crept up on me. So for instance, I may have worked from home for years and years and years, but I found that I also worked from the coffee shop for years and years. And I started to notice when I was working from home during the pandemic that, oh, I'm starting to drift off and my focus is shifting. I'm getting a little bit stir crazy because this is the time of day when I would normally pack up everything in my computer bag and either walk or bicycle to the coffee shop and then sit and do another 2 hours in the coffee shop while having a shot of caffeine and in a kind of a more social environment. Maybe I wouldn't even be talking to anybody, but the white noise that would surround me in the coffee shop would kind of help adjust my focus in a different way. And absent that, I was suddenly just at home in my home office, just kind of relentlessly trying to focus on a subject or on a topic. And I would get to that mid-afternoon lull and I would have no recourse like I used to have in the old days.
Mm. That's interesting because I'd also spent, you know, a fair amount of my time working from home, maybe not all the time, but certainly for periods of a week when I'd be working from home. But the one thing I found is that and you know, we can, when we met face to face, we were always good to having a little bit of digression away from the topic, shall we say, and I hold my hand up for being a very good at instigator of being able to have a chat around something that was nothing to do with the reason for the meeting. But I found that that type of thing, that impromptu conversation, was what was there was less of, because everything tended to be more, you know, functioned into set periods of time on Zoom, that there wasn't that opportunity just to have a casual conversation with somebody for 5 minutes about something that was nothing to do with work and then be able to get back to work. And I think that was the one thing that I found that I'd missed the most. And in the last couple of weeks, as we started to open up a little bit more, the ability to go and have a coffee with somebody physically and have a chat with them has been something that has been that I valued. I was able to do that a little bit through COVID one way or another, but to able to have that more informal chats was something that I was looking forward to getting back to.
Well, if we return ostensibly to our ostensible topic of work-life health balance, what strategies did you use during that COVID period to try to establish balance or reestablish balance?
Well, one of the things that I tried to do and did quite a bit of was that I would get out and go for a drive. I'd try and go for a walk if the weather was better. But as anybody that's lived in Calgary for many time will know that there are about that 6 months of the year when the weather isn't always maybe not the nicest to get out and about, or it's particularly cold. And you couldn't be out for a lengthy period of time. So what I used to try to get away was to go out for a drive. And as you know, I live on the edge of the city in the edge of the suburb. So it was fairly easy for me within 5 minutes to be out of the city. So I would do that, drive, have some music. And it was just go through to a Tim's that's about sort of 20 minutes from me and go and but out in the one of the smaller towns on the outside of Calgary and grab a coffee from there, from the drive-through, and just take that drive. And it was to have some music or to have a podcast on. This would be an ideal podcast for people to listen to, or audio book, or just something to be out. And I'd be, even if the weather was cold, it was still bright and sunny, and I just got out and about. So it was I found that driving in a more of a relaxed way, because I was out of the city, there was not real traffic, and having a coffee with me and just having some music or some podcast or audio book was a nice way of being able to distract myself from what had been going on during the day. The second thing that I found I was able to get more into doing, as you know, I have a big interest for military history. I also like a little bit of modeling in terms of painting model figures, and I managed to get back into doing some of that, which I hadn't done for a while. And I found that very useful to be able to de-stress and to be calm, because to be able to paint something that's quite intricate, you can't do if you're agitated. So you have to calm yourself and be very sort of intentional about it. So I found that that was useful as well. So they were sort of two things that I did that I had I found as a way of getting some balance back into life and de-stressing, I suppose, from the constant work, but also the worries about COVID that were around there and what that was meaning, because other stuff that I typically had done was not available to me during the COVID pandemic.
Well, that's interesting. The first thing that you mentioned about taking the drive, I tried to do something similar. I can also divide my COVID experience, my pandemic experience, into two halves. And the first half, which lasted for, let's say, like the first, let's call it 6 months of the pandemic, when I was working from home, I moved my home office down into the basement, and I really zeroed in on the online course that you and I had been developing for the I Need to Effing Talk to You program. And I really spent a lot of time focusing on that. But I was also conscious of the fact that because I was in the basement, that I wasn't getting a lot of natural sunlight. And right when that 3 o'clock doldrums hit, instead of going to the coffee shop, I got into the habit of either going for a run or doing some sort of exercise outside or some sort of thing to kind of rejuvenate me or give get my blood pumping by doing some exercise. So whereas where you would go for a run, I would, where you would go for a drive, I would go for a run. And I found that, contrary to what you described, I find in Calgary that because the weather is quite volatile, and there are often these warm weather Chinooks that come, or even in the absence of a Chinook, there are just relatively warmer periods. I was able to, with some proper attire, I was able to get out even when it was like, you know, 2 degrees Celsius or 5 degrees Celsius, or even as cold as -5 degrees Celsius. I was able to get out as long as it wasn't too icy. So I found that really helped a lot. I also, though, at the halfway through the COVID period, when we started to get back into the winter season and we started to have less sunlight, I really felt the impact of being in the basement. And at that point, I moved into a co-workspace. And I chose a co-workspace that was being very careful about its COVID protocols, and everyone was wearing a mask. And because of COVID, a lot of people had vacated the co-workspace. So there were essentially just a lot of empty desks between me and anybody else. At one point, I found myself very consistently with one or two other people in a room with 25 desks. So it was I was able to maintain distance quite easily, and I was quite comfortable there. But the drawback, so I was then able to get some of that social engagement, even through a mask. But the drawback, Russell, was that because I would leave my home to go to a workspace, and then I would want to get a lot of work in while I was away, and then I wouldn't come home again until 5-6 o'clock, and now we're in the winter period, so it's dark by that point, I stopped exercising. I stopped doing the running that had been so helpful to me. And over a period, at one point, I actually injured my ankle, so I was no longer able to run or even go skiing. So I found then that this had a really negative impact on my mood. And now that my ankle is healed and we're back in the summer months and I've slowly started to reintroduce some of this exercise again, I have noticed a marked improvement on my mood. So I've really learned my work-life health balance lesson in a really hard lesson, I may say.
Yeah, and then that's interesting that you're saying that, as you sort of, it's the trade-off. You get the social interaction of being around other people and getting out into a brighter workspace, but then you find you're not doing the exercise. I know that, you know, prior to COVID, my daughters and I would pretty regularly, probably about 3-4 times a week, go to the gym that's close to us. So it would be a good thing we do that together. So we would go, we would maybe work out individually, but we would go together. And I enjoyed that. Obviously, when that was closed, we weren't able to do it. So we tried to do some workout in our basement. But there was a limit to what you could do in the basement when you don't really have any equipment. You know, we could be inventive, but it got a little bit samey after a while. So we were really pleased only in the last couple of weeks where the gyms have reopened again, that we've been able to start going back to the gym. And again, that's provided both a little bit of interaction because there are other people over there, but also getting back into doing that exercise that we'd enjoy doing. And it was something that we could do, the three of us. So it was something that we were able to do together. So that's been a bonus coming out. So I suppose we've had COVID in perhaps two, if not three, phases that we've been in. So hopefully we'll be able to get back to some sort of the normal activities that we enjoy pretty soon.
So I wonder, Russell, to what extent that the pandemic is really just magnifying something that's already there. You mentioned at the top of the podcast that I'm at my cabin, and it's true, I'm here at my cabin and I happen to be lying in my hammock. And although we're doing a podcast right now, we're being fairly relaxed about it. But that's not actually the way that I usually live my life at the cabin. For me, the cabin is not just a relaxing space, it's also a workspace. So it's not uncommon for my wife and I to come out to the cabin for a 3-day weekend and to spend those entire 3 days working. Well, I may come out here and I may get away from the office and I may get away from the clients. But it's not uncommon for me to spend those 3 days delving into my book or the book that we just finished co-writing, or working on editing those videos for our online program, or for me to spend some other project where I really need some focused time. And on those days, not unusual for me to spend up to like 6 hours uninterrupted. I'll even forget to eat while I'm working at the cabin, and then I'll, you know, throw some steaks on the barbecue and have an evening to myself. But it's not really the 3 days away you know, relaxing at the cabin by the beach that our viewers might be thinking of. I have a tendency to bring my workaholicism with me wherever I go. I've been known to spend 3 weeks on a beach in Vietnam writing a screenplay and locked in the wooden hut on the beach in Vietnam, writing the entire time and not really seeing the country. So it really, I'm wondering, Russell, to what extent are we exacerbating what's already there? And what do we need to look at more carefully rather than just blaming it on the pandemic?
I think that's a good point, Ken. I mean, I think there may be a little bit of both there. I think it may emphasize the things that are natural character traits anyway, and it's just emphasized it in a little bit way that it magnifies when we were through our, the various phases of different types of lockdown. It, you know, in terms of, you know, interpersonal relationships, it may have emphasized a microcosm of or it's a micro focus on certain traits that people had because you're seeing it all the time. So I think perhaps that translates a little bit into our work as well. If there was a trait that we were a bit of a workaholic, we continued to be a workaholic, but we were just saying no, it was COVID related. I think the other thing, I sort of different slant on that I noticed is it emphasized for me what was important and the things that I liked doing and the things that I missed because I wasn't able to do it or not able to do it in the same way. So on a positive note, what I noticed, it emphasized for me that I did like, for example, I enjoyed doing that figure painting. And that was and terrain making. That was something that I enjoyed doing and that I needed to make sure that I made time to do that even when we weren't in sort of lockdown, because it's something that I actually enjoyed. I'd enjoyed in the past. I'd sort of got out of the habit of doing it because of other activities that I was involved in. But on the flip side of that, I found that there were things that I missed. You know, both my daughters are very much involved in sports. You know, one particularly at the Somori elite level, and not being around that impacted both of them and her particularly. Not being around that environment affected me because I realized how much time I actually spent involved in those activities with them, but also how much time I spent in terms of volunteering. As you know, I'm on the board of a hockey association. I'm president there, and not being involved with that because of the COVID lockdown was something that I missed. So there were those two points. I think the things that I realized that I wanted to be doing more of because I rediscovered, but also being aware of the things that I missed and how I wanted to be back doing that. And it's been nice the last week or so, again, getting involved with those activities.
So, Russell, in the spirit of that comment, let's give a little bit of homework to our listeners. Or if I may borrow a page from my own wife, who says that we all have enough work in our lives, so let's not call it homework, let's call it home play. So here's some home play for our listeners. What are three healthy habits that you have established during the pandemic that you're going to continue post-pandemic? Or for those like me, what are three habits that you've dropped that you are now going to reestablish as we emerge from the pandemic? And if we can get our listeners to perhaps email that to us at info@ineedtoeffingtalktoyou.com, then we can bring that up in a subsequent podcast, a sequel to this topic, perhaps. So, Russell, why don't you and I model good behavior for our listeners? What are three habits that you have that you either established during the pandemic that you want to continue post-pandemic, or that you dropped and that you want to reintroduce to your life post-pandemic? Pick three, Russell.
Okay, so the first one I mentioned was continuing with my painting. So that was something I'd enjoyed in the past. It had sort of lapsed over a number of years, and I've rediscovered during the pandemic, and I'm going to look to continue doing that going forward. The second of those was the importance of making sure that, you know, that using the gym, which I enjoyed doing with my, even if I didn't go with my daughters, but sort of ring fencing that time out that I could go and do that, because it's, again, it's something that I'd done pre-pandemic. I'd started to sort of got into different formats during the pandemic, but making sure that I did that and where possible did it in the morning, because I found that it was much more likely to do it if I got up and went to the gym and did it than if I put it at the end of the day, wait till I finish work, because what I was then finding is that work didn't finish and therefore it was the thing that dropped off the end. So putting that time in at the beginning of the day and making use of it. And as you had alluded to with the sort of weather here in Calgary, if that wasn't available, then replace that by going out for a walk or something like that, because that was a good time to go and do that. And the thing I wanted to drop, and this is something, again, that I think it was happened, I was prone to pre-pandemic, but found I was doing more over, was the ability to be able to switch my phone off and put it away where I wasn't looking at it, checking emails, checking social media, looking for updates on various things. And did I really need to be doing that? So that's been an ongoing challenge for me, and something I want to get to grips with going forward, actually having periods of time when I would switch that off and put it away so that I wasn't constantly, or not constantly, but regularly, I should say, just checking in on what was going on. So there's my three.
And those seem like very healthy choices. And I would also venture to say that they're three pretty common ones. So I wonder how many of our listeners will write in saying that those are things they'll also be doing as well. Very good, Russell. I'll pick three. I think one that I've already mentioned is I want to reintroduce some form of daily exercise, whether that's running or even just some circuit training that I can either do at home. And as the gym opens up, I could be doing it more in the gym when the weather gets colder again. Second thing that I want to do, similar to yours, Russell, I need to spend less time on the phone and more time reading. I used to power through so many books, and I let that lapse during the pandemic. But the default is that I've spent far more time on Netflix at night before we go to bed instead of reading in bed before the lights go out. And so I need to reintroduce the reading thing. And I think the third thing I need to do is setting and honoring a finish time in my workplace, especially now that I have this co-work space where I can leave home and go to the co-work space. I need to leave that workspace a little earlier than I have been. I will often work until 6 o'clock at night. Like I'll get there before eight, leave at 6 o'clock at night. And I think I really just need to truncate that by an hour on each end so that I'm spending more time in the morning on healthy activities, whether that's stretching or meditating. And I need to get home earlier so that I can make a healthy meal.
They sound excellent ideas, Ken. If I may just add an add-on to your more reading, because that's something, Lisa, that I had done more, enjoyed doing, and wanted to do more of. Something that I invested in was an e-reader or a Kindle, and I know that you have one of these. And mine was quite a practical reason for this, that With I needing to be wearing contact lenses and needing them for both distance distance and close reading as well. So I needed sort of very focal contact lenses. If I wasn't wearing them, I had glasses, it became more difficult to read unless I had a good light. Now, that wasn't conducive with Mrs. Stratton if she was wanting to go to sleep and I'm wanting to having a good light on. So we're reading a book. So what I did was to go and get my Kindle, which is backlit, as you know how they're done. And therefore, I was able to read in bed for sort of 15, 20 minutes before going to sleep without having to have a big light on, which kept Mrs. Stratton happy because she wasn't being disturbed and me happy because I was able to read. So anybody that was struggling for some sort of similar arrangement at home, I would certainly recommend that as an alternative. Even if you, like me, like to have a physical book in front of you, having the Kindle or Kobo or something similar certainly can be a way that you don't miss out on your reading.
I like that. I like that, Russell, that you've added a strategy to how you can solve one of those things. And that's a good strategy for me as well. I've reverted back to the hard copy of books because I like making notes in them. I'm not sure I would do that. But here's another question I'm going to have for you, Russell, is out of those three things that you cited, how are you going to hold yourself accountable for making sure that you're going to be doing those three things?
Well, I think the most difficult one is going to be the phone one. And that's the probably I need some help with. So I think one of the things I have done is speaking to my wife, to Mrs. Stratton, or management as I refer to her, and to my daughters who are trainee managers, to point out that if I'm on my phone too much to get off of it, and you know, not to be seen looking at it, and to put it to one side and maybe take it off of me. Now, that's going to be easier for my wife to do than my daughters, because as teenagers, they're on their phones more than I am. So perhaps I'll need to exchange some of that accountability with them. But I'm going to enlist family members in that to help me.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. And I'm, to hold myself accountable, I'm going to borrow a page from a gentleman I met years ago in a workshop. He said that he, in order to make sure that he was exercising every week and keeping to his regimen, he put it into his calendar, into his electronic calendar, his Google calendar, or his iCal, and he gave himself a little rule. If he had to adjust a time because he had a meeting or something coming up, he couldn't delete the workout slot. He could move it, but he couldn't ever delete it. So that meant that he always had to find a new place to put it in his weekly schedule. And if there wasn't a place to put it, then he had to decline the meeting or the invitation or whatever it was that was keeping him from doing his workout. So I'm going to try to do that same thing, where I put it in my calendar and I'm not allowed to delete it. I can move it, but I can't delete it. So I'm going to try that habit.
That I think would work, Ken, because you and I have used that for our excellent Monday meetings that we have. That we have the same rule, don't we? That we can't delete it, but we can move it. And I think over the last 18 months or so that we have had that we've. I can probably only think of maybe one occasion when we've deleted it completely, and that tends to have been because it's over a holiday period. We've just rescheduled it, whether it's a podcast recording or it's one of our strategy meetings, you know, that we have moved it within the week, but we've not actually deleted it, and that's worked well to sort of keep us on track.
And so I just have to apply that same rigor to my health that I apply to my work. So that'll
exactly.
That'll be the way that I'll hold myself accountable.
I think that'll be the case, and I think that could work for you.
Well, I look forward to hearing from our listeners then. Please send us an email to info@ineedtoeffingtalktoyou.com and give us your three pieces of home play. What are you, what habits are you going to carry forward from the pandemic, if they're good habits, or what habits from the pre-pandemic period are going to reestablish? And then the question number four is, how are you going to hold yourself accountable for those? So we look forward to hearing some of those examples, and we can carry those forward into a future podcast episode.
Absolutely. And those that home play for you is going to be in the show notes that accompany this podcast, and also the email address to send those ideas to us. And we would like to hear those because then we can share some of those great ideas with other listeners in the future. Well, it's been great talking to you again, Ken, and discussing a subject that I think has been on many people's minds over the last few months. How do we get that work-life balance? And particularly when work and home tend to meld. For you and I, perhaps it's been more common for us in the past, but I know for a number of our listeners, it has been perhaps a jolt to the system and something that they've not been used to. Some will have liked it and would like to continue, I'm sure, in the future, having some form of, you know, working from home going forward. I know one or two people who've said they'd like to do that. Others that know they really want to get back to being at the workplace, that works better for them. So we'll have to see how that pans out for everybody in the future.
And just as a parting note, Russell, in the last few minutes while we've been talking about different strategies we might bring forward and how we can hold ourselves accountable, there has been an eagle circling high overhead on top of my hammock here as it's been hunting over the Red Deer River Valley. And I've had the great pleasure of watching it circle lazily in the summer sun.
Well, I my thanks to the eagle for maintaining your concentration. And you obviously didn't nod off during our podcast today. And the eagle has helped keep your keep you focused over the last period of time. So my thanks to the eagle.
I shall impart the thanks to the eagle should it come down to our landing.
Okay. Well, good to speak to you as always. I think a useful topic for us to discuss. I hope our listeners have enjoyed that. We look forward to joining you shortly, folks. So you take care and goodbye. And we will effing talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you, Russell.